Chapter 3, please. Mark chapter 3. Mark chapter 3, we're going to begin reading in verse 13. I am making an assumption that I probably shouldn't make, so I will say this. The Bible, when it was written, did not have verses in chapter divisions. Those were added over a period of hundreds of years. Sometimes they're in very odd places. One of them we're going to encounter today. It's not a big deal, it's just when you read it, you're like, they really kind of missed the point. So let's stand, please. Mark chapter 3, verse 13. Now, I have spoken on this passage, but I want you to get the flow of what's happening here. And he, meaning Jesus, goeth up into a mountain and calleth unto him whom he would, and they came unto him, and he ordained 12, that they should be with him, and that he might send them forth to preach. Now, I preached on this a month ago or more. So we see the action of Jesus. He goes up into a mountain. He calls the people that he has decided to choose to be apostles. He ordains them 12 that he can send them forth. He wants them to be with him and then go out and serve. Verse 19. The action continues here. It lists all these men and Judas Iscariot, which also betrayed him. The next section of action is the next verse. And they went into his house, and the multitude, you understand how that reads together? And they went into an house, and the multitude cometh together again, so that they could not so much as eat bread. Bread there, of course, doesn't mean bread. It's, like some people say, would you Xerox a copy? We're not meaning you have to have a Xerox machine in order to make a copy. It's just a way of expression. It means food. There were so many people coming, they couldn't eat. Verse 21. And when his friends heard of it, we're going to get to what friends means in verse 31, they went out to lay hold on him, a word that means to arrest, to seize, to take possession of, to grab a hold of him. For they said, he is beside himself. He's crazy. Verse 31. You have the interim section. Then you have the conclusion of this story. The interim part is about the unpardonable sin, and now we conclude this story. There came then his brethren and his mother, and standing without, sent unto him, calling him. And the multitude sat about him, and they said unto him, behold, which means this. Look up here, folks. This is literature, but it's like, behold, look over there. Thy mother and thy brethren without seek for thee. And he answered them, saying, well, who is my mother or my brethren? And he looked round about on them which sat about him, and said, behold, my mother and my brethren, for whosoever shall do the will of God, the same is my mother, is my brother, and my sister and mother. We're going to talk about this morning this title, a part of the family of God. A part of the family of God. We're going to answer the question, well, who is my mother or my brethren? Let us pray. Father, I ask your blessing on this time as we look at this text. For those in this room that are believers, may we be reconfirmed in the beauty and grandeur and grace of becoming a child of God. For those in this room that are not part of the family of God, may this be the day of their salvation. Father, do that which I cannot do. Holy Spirit, work through me in ways that I cannot do anything. I ask, and I ask now in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Who is my brother, sister, mother? How does one become part of the family of God? Ronnie Crank, Bruce Kendall, Mike Whitlock, and Ralph Warren. It was March 1975, almost 40 years ago. There were three guys in my high school that I knew were believers, with the exception of me. Those three guys. They went to First Baptist Church of Grafton. I went to First Baptist Church of Fielding. We all knew we were believers. They were better Christians in those days, much, than I was. The four of us got together at high school. None of us knew what to do with our life. And we all decided to go join the United States Marine Corps. It's the first amen in almost 19 years, Mike. I don't know what I was thinking, but I joined them. On one Saturday, we got together at, I don't know where we got together at. Maybe it was in Rosedale. All I know is we got in one car. We drove from where I'm from, Rosedale, and the other guys were from the big town of Nutwood, Illinois. And we drove down the Great River Road to Alton, Illinois. I can't remember the drive. I can't remember what we drove. I might have driven, but I remember going down to Alton. And when we got there, we drove up to the place where you... It was after registry for the draft, because Vietnam era was still there, but the war was over. We drove up to the place where the recruiters were. It was one of those storefront buildings, ugly, dim. I remember not much, but I remember walking in the building, and as we walked in the building, the recruiters, there was an open area, small open area. I was trying to picture in my mind, it's probably half the size of this. Small open area. Seems like there was like chairs or benches of some variety around the outside. There were some tables in the middle with magazines on it. And then around that, on both sides and over on this side, were the different places. The Marine Corps was like around a corner. I think the Army was here. I don't know where the Air Force was. And the Navy was over here. Well, I walked in there with one purpose, to join the United States Marine Corps. My three buddies went into the United States Marine Corps recruiter. This is the honest truth. I have tried to think and rack my brain why I didn't go in the room. It could be the room was too small for four guys. You have to understand the providence of God. You know those little choices? All I know is I didn't go in the room, maybe because it was too small for the recruiter and four guys. My three buddies went in that room. I just kind of wandered around looking at the different posters, and I wandered over towards the Navy recruiter. He came out. He greeted me. Now, understand, I knew nothing about the Navy. I did have one uncle in the Navy, but I didn't know that at the time. My family really was Army. My dad was in the Army in World War II in Korea. His younger brother was in Korea. His older brother was in Army in Okinawa, in the Battle of Okinawa. My grandmother had four brothers in World War II, all in the Army. One died with the wounds from Leyte in the retaking of the Philippines. One was in the Bulge. One was in Europe, and one stayed home. We were Army, pretty much. I didn't even look at the Army. I didn't look at the Air Force. This Navy guy came out, and he started talking to me, and he asked me the magic words. Would you like to take a pretest? You know, I was so dumb, I didn't know you had to take a test. Sure, why not? I took the test. He said, I'll grade it. You can go ahead. I walked back out. I went over and talked to my buddies. They were taking the same kind of test. And he came out a little bit later. He found me. And I have said this before. If he would have been a Pentecostal, he would have been speaking in tongues. I think it was because most guys in 1975 that joined the military couldn't read and write. And he found somebody that could read and write, and I could do a little bit of math. He was just ecstatic. He was so happy. He said, come in here, and he set me down, and he was just bubbling over, and I'm like, man, it wasn't that good, was it? And he said, you'll have to take the real test, but, you know, this test tells me, he says, you can do anything in the Navy. Now, before we go any further, you do realize I hadn't put in my head Navy ships, Navy water, and Navy and swimming. Never crossed my mind. It was, I'm thinking Dad was in the Army. I'm going to go, it's Army-like. I was clueless. He said, you can do anything you want to in the Navy. You can do any program. He says, and there's a great program just for you. Listen to me, young people, especially. This is not a lie. This is exact truth. He said, you can do anything you want. You could go into the nuclear field. Sounded better than staying at home. He says you have to join up for 6 years. No joke. Okay. He says you will have to come back and take the actual test. I said, okay, no problem. So a little bit later, I came back. I took the actual test, did well on those, took a physical, passed the physical. They didn't do a mental physical. That was good. There was no mental checkup. I only had one problem. One little problem. They tested my color vision. At the AFI station in St. Louis, they tested it three different ways. You test it by looking into this thing that looks like a microscope, and they have balls. Yellow ball, red ball, green ball, blue ball maybe. I can tell those four basic colors, or I can guess. I always ace that. Then they gave me a little test where it's about 15 or 20 feet away. You look at three, there's like two lights or three lights, and they change. One's green, one's red, and one's yellow. I can't see them. I'll get to that in a minute. And then they show you those. Now, by the way, folks, everybody in this room that was in Sunday school knows one thing about me, don't you? I'm colorblind. When you look at those circle things that supposedly have numbers in it, if you know anything, is it Hans Christian Andersen that wrote the book, The Emperor's New Clothes? I personally believe this is all a big conspiracy against me because I don't believe there's numbers in there. I miss everyone except the first one, which, you know, if you can see, it's there. But they let me in because I passed the one and kind of passed the second one. Got into the Navy. Boot camp the first week, second week, third week, fourth week, fifth week. The fifth week, my company commander said, Warren, you need to go over and see such and such, some lieutenant commander. I said, fine. He went over and he really tested my color vision. Again, look through the little thing. What's the yellow one? I can pass that. There's only four or five colors, and you can guess. Then he did the color vision with the light. What I found was not only am I red-green colorblind, but if the lights are off and just the colors are bright, I can tell. But if the whites are on, I can't tell any of the colors. And, of course, these, nothing. I still remember. This whole story's for this. He brought me in. He set me down. Nice guy. I don't know if he was a lieutenant commander, maybe a commander. Set me down. He looked at me and he says, here's where we are. Number one, you can have an honorable discharge out of the Navy because the Navy cannot keep its contract with you. Here's the problem. I'm still 18 years old. I don't even know where my shoes are at. I didn't want to do that. He says, or, number two, you can do something else in the Navy, similar. Or number three, he says, but number three, listen to me, everybody, you cannot go into the nuclear program. Have you ever been told that? You, look at me, cannot be part of the nuclear program. Did I choose to be colorblind? Have you ever been told you may not simply because of who you are? That was my dilemma. Well, obviously, I chose going into the hospital corps, going to college through the Navy, going into laboratory medicine. Through that process, a church in South Carolina, God called me to preach. Everything in my life changed because of those decisions. But that day in boot camp was a tough day when a nice guy, he was very much of a gentleman officer, he said to me, you just can't do this. You can't be colorblind and go into the nuclear program. And that was kind of my joy. I thought I was going to do something interesting. And it was not allowed me. Now, let's look back, if you would, to Mark chapter 3, verse 33. You'll understand what we're going to do with this. Mark 3 and verse 33. We're going to discuss and look at what about the family of God? Is this a club that is exclusive and only the privileged few can get in? What if you happen to be the wrong kind of person? Are you not allowed in the family of God? Mark 3, verse 33. He, meaning Jesus, answered them, saying, who is my mother or my brethren? And he looked around about on them which sat about him and said, behold, my mother and my brethren. We're going to focus on the second word of the next verse. For, what's that word? Whosoever. For whosoever shall do the will of God, the same is my brother and my sister and mother. When we look at this text, we must consider, first of all, the family of God is open to all. The family of God is open to all peoples. We all, at least as adults and as older teenagers, you start to recognize that you are not always welcome every place. It's not a fun feeling to go someplace and you feel you're not welcome here. I remember one of our deacons, Tony Cardenas, going to a church in Virginia, an independent Baptist church. Tony is of Hispanic descent. He's a Tejano. He's been in Texas, his family, for 3 or 4 generations, but he speaks Spanish and he looks like he's from Mexico. And here is a Baptist deacon from this church going to an independent Baptist church in Virginia, and he and Rachel walk in and everybody... And by the way, you know what they're thinking. What are you doing here? What are you doing here? If you're old enough, you have experienced in some place the feeling of rejection where you don't fit in. You're not welcome. According to Jesus, whosoever, there is an openness to this. The family of God is open to all. It is not limited by your family background. Maybe you didn't come from a good family. Maybe you're illegitimate. Maybe you were born before marriage or outside of marriage. Maybe you don't have a father, or maybe your whole family's illegitimate. Makes no difference. It's whosoever. Regardless of one's social standing. By the way, friend, please look at me. I wish I had the ability to get you to feel this. You feel it, but it's hard to get you awake enough to feel it this morning. You have been places where you know you're not welcome. I don't care who you are. In my case, it's going to be this, in America. Yes? You're going to go places and you just don't make enough money to belong there. And you know you don't. Is that the way the family of God is? No. Jesus says it's whosoever. It's open to all. It's not about your family, where you came from, whether it was a good family or a bad. It's not about your social standing, how much money you make or don't make. It's not about your ethnic identity. He didn't look and say, well, if you all look the right color, we're good with you. But if you're the wrong color, we don't like you. It's not about your national origins. You're from the wrong country. Do you realize if you want to be a Sikh, you know that religion in northern India, a Sikh? Do you realize in order to become a Sikh, you have to learn that language? You say, well, I don't speak that language. Too bad, you're out of luck. You say, I want to be a Muslim. Do you realize you cannot read the Quran in English? You say, well, I've seen them. No Muslim considers that the Quran. The Quran can only be read in Arabic. Did you not know that? You are eliminated unless you read that. Here's Jesus saying, no. The family of God's open to all people. It's not limited to those sorts of things. It's not limited, by the way, to your mental ability. It's not limited to your physical ability. Hey, let me ask you, don't raise your hand, please. Do you remember, I don't know if they do this anymore. I don't think kids even play anymore. But when I was a kid, we used to play softball. And there would be two guys. The two best players would usually, one guy here, one guy there, and they would choose teams. Do you remember there was always one or two people you didn't want to choose? How do you think it felt to be that person? How about this one? Girl, ladies, please don't get angry at me. Excuse me, angrier than you already are. We had a guy named Ronnie Dagger. Ronnie, first of all, couldn't see, and second of all, had zero ability to do anything. Couldn't catch, couldn't throw, couldn't run, couldn't hit. Other than that, he was good at softball. Ronnie would always be the last person chosen, unless he would be chosen after the girls. And if you understand softball, that's bad. I know, I can feel the anger now. We live in a different age. You say, Pastor, we live in the land of opportunity. And we don't have this problem in America. We have freedom and access to everything. My friend, I say again, there are still places that I would not be welcome You say, well, you're white. No, it doesn't make any difference. I would not be welcome. I can name places, but I won't. But some of them are not too far down the road here. At certain country clubs, I would never be welcome no matter what. Do you not know that? And here's Jesus saying, you know what? Here's the family of God. It's open to all, whosoever. This is pretty clear teaching in Scripture. John 3:14 says, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 4:13. Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. The family of God is open to all. John 11, verse 25, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Acts 2:21. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Acts 10:43, to him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission or forgiveness of sins. Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Revelation 22:17, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. But look at me. I never like to mention TV in a church service, because most people live their life in front of a boob tube. So please, no comments about what I'm going to say. I'm going to say something that's very harsh that I saw this week. Sometime this week, probably, I don't know what night, so some of you, please. I wanted to watch the news early, so I turned it on to Fox, Channel 32. I don't have cable, so I just flipped over to Channel 32, Fox, and there was American Idol was on. I don't know if American Idol is sinful. I don't watch it. I got better things to do. But American Idol was on. And they were singing in little groups. And actually, there were some pretty good singers. Some of them had some ability. And there were like groups of four. And I saw two or three of these four groups. I'm going to read what I wrote. They were nice singers. I have no idea who will win American Idol and don't really care. But when I watch the singers sing, I know, look at me, who will not win American Idol. Do you know the difference? I don't know who will, but I know who won't. There was a guy on stage. He was in a group of four. All of them were promoted to the next round. Now, I'm going to be crude. He was short, he was ugly, and he was fat. He sings well. What are the chances of him winning American Idol? By the way, you live every single day, whether you want to lie to yourself or not, you already know you are excluded from many things because of things you can do nothing about. I cannot change my color vision. I really can't become a millionaire tomorrow unless I rob a bank. Then I might be a millionaire in jail. There's things that you can't change about yourself. You can't change your abilities. You can't change your skin tone. You can't change where you're from. And here's the good news. In the kingdom of God, it doesn't matter. It's whosoever. It doesn't look out there and say, oh, you're not pretty enough. You don't have a chance. It bothered me when I saw this guy because he had a pretty good voice, but he was about 6 inches too short and about 100 pounds too overweight, and if he lost all that weight, he'd still be ugly. As I say about me, I have a face for radio. Some of you can't get that. You say, Pastor, people aren't... Every place you go from the rest of your life, you already know people judge you every single moment. You say, we live in a culture that doesn't discriminate. What planet are you from? People discriminate. They look at you, and some people, you're white and they don't like it. Some people, you're black and they don't like it. Some people, you're too tall. Some people, you're too short. Some people, you're too ugly. Some people, you're too good looking. My friend, here's the good news. When Jesus says, who's part of the family of God? Who's my mother? Who's my brother? Who's my sister? It's whosoever. It's open to everybody. It's not about how tall you are, short you are, skinny you are, fat you are, chubby, or excuse me, I'm not fat, I'm chubby. Or what's other words we use for that? I'm stocky. Yes, I kind of look like a tree. Yes, my friend, it's whosoever, whosoever, for whosoever, it's open to all. Look back at Mark 3, verse 35. We're going to walk through those verses together, though, this morning. I have said the family of God is open to all. It is a whosoever. But it moves beyond that. Number one, the family of God is open to all. Number two, the family of God is limited only by obedience. There is something that limits us becoming a member of the family of God. No, it's not how tall you are. It's not how short you are. It's not how beautiful you are. It's not how much brains you have. It's not how what your skin tone is. It's not what kind of hair you have. It's not your weight. It's not your height. It's not your family. It's not your ethnicity. It's not your job. It's not your profession. It's not your social class. It's not your origins. It's not your nationality. It's not your wealth. It's not your last name. It is 100% limited only by our obedience. Look at the verse, for whosoever what shall do the will of God, the same is my brother and my sister and my mother. So everyone look at me. Is the family of God limited? Yes, but not by the things that limit us in this life. There comes a time when you have a brain and you have a little bit of education that you realize something. I hope you already know this. In America, it makes no difference how smart you are. It makes no difference how educated you are. It makes no difference how many books you have read. It makes no difference how much of a mastery of subjects you have. Look at me. It matters only your opinions. And I am a conservative Christian, and my opinions are not part of the approved opinions. So I will never be accepted. And by the way, I'm good with that. But that doesn't keep you out of being part of the family of God, how smart you are, how educated you are. The only thing that keeps you out of the family of God, it is limited by and only by obedience. It's whosoever shall do the will of God. I'm going to have you turn to a bunch of passages in a moment. John chapter 6, this is not where I'm going to start, says this. Some people come to Jesus and they say, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them in John 6:29, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he has sent. Romans 1 verse 5 says this, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for the obedience to the faith. Friend, here it is. It's wide open. Look at me. In this room, if we were all trying out for American Idol, first of all, 4/5 of us can't sing at all. Or we can't sing in a way anybody wants to hear. Is that an amen here? There might be a group in here that can sing, but by the way, things that you have no control over will prevent you from ever succeeding. Maybe you're not pretty enough. Maybe you're not tall enough. Maybe you're too stocky. Maybe your nose is wrong. Maybe you don't look pleasant. Maybe you have the wrong... Get over all that stuff, but the kingdom of God is open to all. It's limited by and only by our obedience, that initial obedience to the gospel, coming to Christ, trusting Christ, repent, turning from sin. So it is limited, but it's not limited because of those kinds of things. It's limited by the fact that we ourselves must trust Christ. Now, I want you to turn with me, if you would, John chapter 3. Would you please? John chapter 3. There is a limitation, but not where we put it. Friend, I want you to know when you leave here this morning that the family of God is open to you regardless of where you're from, what you look like, what language you speak, what language you don't speak, how much money you make, how much money you don't make. And by the way, even for you in this room that are a little bit, let me use this language. You're a utak kamote. You're about as smart as what? A sweet potato. You say, that's funny. By the way, some of us are not too bright. May I say this? There's good news. God's not looking for your brains. He has plenty. He's not even looking for your ability. He's not needing your ability. You can be part of the family of God, but it is limited. Hear me, it is limited, but not by those things. John chapter 3. I want you to read these whosoever passages and underline them with me, because I think some people want to make whosoever so broad. No, the Bible itself limits, but it's the obedience of faith. John 3:14. Read with me. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever, it's open to all, it's limited by what? The obedience. Whosoever believeth should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, open to all, but limited to the person that obeys the faith, believes in him. John 4:13, would you please? John 4:13, one chapter over. John 4, verse 13. Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But my friend, the family of God is limited. Please look at me. If you don't, this is what Jesus does. He says, you're thirsty? I like water. I drink a lot of water. I drink water more than any other fluid. But you know what? If I drink this water, when I get done preaching this morning, because of preaching is a thing that you get dry from, I'm going to have to drink more water. You're going to thirst again. But Jesus says, you know what? If you drink of the water that I'm talking about, he's talking about himself, you will never thirst. You say, Pastor, is this really open to all? It's open to all, but it's limited by you must come and drink. You must believe. You must obey the faith. You must come to Christ and follow him. It's not limited by any other thing. How smart we are, how beautiful we are, how chubby we are, how skinny we are, how perfect we are, how imperfect we are. What our skin tone is, none of that matters. What matters is it's limited by will you come to Christ? Let's keep reading. John 11, verse 25. John 11, verse 25. John 11, verse 25, please. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever, again, open to all, but liveth and believeth in me, shall never die. Next book over, Acts chapter 2, please. Verse 21. Acts 2, verse 21. I heard a sermon years ago. The guy said, I believe in a whosoever will gospel. The problem with the whosoever will gospel, it doesn't exist. Because every time you look at me, every time you have a whosoever, there's something right after the whosoever. Yes, it's open to you. If you're here this morning, friend, and you say, when I put my head on the pillow tonight, I don't know for sure if I'd go to heaven if I died. Friend, please hear me. It's open to you. You don't have to think, well, but I'm Filipino, or I have dark skin, or I have light skin, or I'm not very smart, or I think I'm smart. None of that matters. It's open to you. But it's not open to you in the sense that you're special. It's open to you that you must obey. It's limited by your obedience. Acts chapter 2, verse 21. And it shall come to pass that whosoever, but it's not whosoever, it's whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Acts 10, 43. We're going to look at a couple more verses. Acts 10, verse 43, please. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever, but it doesn't stop there, believeth in him shall receive remission or forgiveness of sins. Romans 10, 13, please. two more texts. Romans 10:13. It's going to be easy. It's the next book, and it's the last book in the New Testament after that. Romans 10:13. Many of you know this verse. For whosoever. Look at me, friend. Are you a whosoever? Have you been excluded? Look at me. You will be excluded from the family of God, but it will have nothing to do with how handsome you are, whether you have a face for TV or a face for radio. Whether you have a body that's for TV or a body that's for radio. Whether you have all of your hair. I looked at Bambi's handsome son back here. Look at that guy. He has way too much hair. Nobody ought to have that much hair. My son-in-law has too much hair. You have too much hair. And I'm not talking about the length. That's just wrong, isn't it? By the way, by the grace of God, God doesn't count how many hairs I have and say, you know, you don't have enough. Some of you are thankful, aren't you? By the way, I'm thankful. God doesn't care about that. What he's looking at, it limits it by what? Will you believe? Will you trust? Will you follow? Will you come to Christ? Will you become his disciple? Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call, you must come to Christ, turn from your sins, call upon him. My friend, that is your only hope. It's not a whosoever gospel, it's whosoever calls. The last text, Revelation 22. To me, this is one of the most beautiful texts in the Bible. It's so beautiful, it is beyond beautiful. Revelation 22, verse 17. This is the last invitation in the Scripture. The Scripture says, and the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and the bride, that's the church, say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst, come. And I heard a guy preach on this text. I believe in a whosoever will gospel. Look at me. A whosoever will gospel will do you no good. Because the gospel is limited, look at me, not by the whosoever, but by following through. Yes, look at me. It's wide open. It's open for you today. If you're here and you say, I am not saved, or I'm not sure I'm saved, it's open to you. There is no limitations on anything, how you look, your languages, your culture, your food, none of that. What will limit you is, will you come to Christ, friend? That's what limits you. So it is limited in our obedience by that. So let's read that whole verse again, please, and then we'll go back to Mark. And the Spirit and the bride say what? Christian, what do you say? That's all you say to people. Come, come, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst, come. And whosoever will, if you want to, take of the water of life freely, friend. Come. Please look at me. We're going to finish this up. Let's look. We're going to go back to Mark in a moment, but I want you to hear me. I look around this room. We're from all over the place. We have all different kinds of skin tone, and may I say this, I love it. This is what heaven's going to look like, except Raphael over here and Ade and I am not going to have bald heads. God's going to give us a head of hair. Amen? We're hoping anyhow. Listen, friend. This is what heaven looks like, but it's not because of who you are or what you look like. It's open to everybody, wherever you're from, whatever your background. You say, Pastor, you don't know my background. Did you come from a culture where if some child was born illegitimately, the family tried to cover it up? And for the rest of their life, everybody tried to cover up that this child was born illegitimately? You don't have to be legitimate to be part of a legitimate child of God, friend. It's whosoever. But it is limited. You must come to Christ. You, not this water, but you must take of the water of life, Christ himself. Because when you drink of that well, you will never thirst. And the church here today says, come, come, come. It's open to all. It's limited by obedience to the faith. We must do the will of God. And doing the will of God is not one thing you do one time and move on. It's what you do. It's who you become. It's what you do when you follow Christ. It starts with the belief. Mark chapter 3. Let's look back there, please. Mark chapter 3. Now, friend, if you have a pen, whether you're taking notes or you prefer to underline, I'm going to really be specific in the last idea. I mean really specific. You probably have never seen this. It's okay not to have, but you will this morning. I have said the family of God is open to how many people? Whosoever. It's limited by, you got to obey it. You got to drink. You got to come. You got to call. You have to repent. You have to follow. You have to do the will of God. You can't just say, well, it's open to me. I guess I'm okay. No, no, no. You yourself must come. Now, this gets very technical because Mark is doing something he assumes you're going to see. He's showing you who isn't part of the family and who is. By proximity to Jesus, how close you are to Jesus. Look at verse 19, please. After Jesus called the 12, it says, and they went into a house. And the multitude cometh together again, so that they could not so much as eat bread, eat a meal. Verse 21 translates the word friends. It says, and when his friends heard of it, that is not the word for friend, the word we get phileo from or phile. It is actually kind of an indirect phrase. Those alongside him. It can mean, are you listening? Family, friends, or associates. The King James translates it friends, but when we pick the story up, you realize he's not talking about friends, he's talking about family. Because it's a general Greek phrase meaning those alongside of Jesus. So in verse 21, and when those alongside of him heard of it, what did they do? They went out to do what? They went out to grab a hold of him, to seize him. For they said, he is, let's make this modern English, he's crazy. He's beside himself. Look at me. Is that the reaction of a disciple? Verse 31. By the way, I'm going to be very technical. Verse 31. There came then his brethren and his mother. So whatever that phrase means, hoi par, it means his family. His brethren and mother, and it says, and they were standing. Where were they standing? Outside. Exactly. Exothermic for Pam. That which, you know, outside. It's an outside concept. It says, they sent unto him, calling him, and the multitude, notice the group, the multitude sat around him like this. There's a multitude encircling him. We get the word perimeter from this. There's this group surrounding him, and then there's the group outside. Who's going to be the ones that are the followers? Let's keep reading. And they said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren, what? They're outside again, without seek for thee. And he answered them, saying, who is my mother or my brother? Now remember, we have said the family of God is open to all. It's limited by our obedience to the faith. Are we going to trust Christ, repent? Thirdly, it is demarcated. There is a demarcation line through one's allegiance. You see, at this time, Jesus' family was outside. But the group that Jesus says is his family are those that surround him. So look at verse 34. It actually says it three times in Greek in one line. He looked round about this group that was close to him on them which sat about. That is the Greek word we get cycle from, or circle. And those that were round about him and sat about him, he said, look up here, folks. I'm going to demonstrate it physically. He said, my family and everybody, they're out there. The people that should know, they're on the outside. But the people that have sworn allegiance to me, those that are in my inner circle, these are my mother, brother, and sister. It's these people that are demarcated. There's a demarcation line from their allegiance to me. My family is on the outside. Jesus had a family, children born to Mary and Joseph after Jesus' birth. If you look over at Mark chapter 6 real quick in verse 3, we'll look at that together. Mark 6 and verse 3, you will see that it was rather large. Mark 6 and verse 3 says, some people that knew Jesus asked this question, is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph, and Judah? He had another brother named Judas or Judah, and Simon. So he had at least four brothers, and are not his sisters, so he had at least two sisters here with us. So friends, at this time, Jesus had a family. Children born to Mary and Joseph after Jesus was miraculously conceived and born. It was a rather large family, at least four boys and two girls. It was a family, look here, it was a family that should have believed. They would have grown up with the stories that Mary would have told about Jesus. She would have had to have told those stories. But at this point, his brothers and his sisters, if they're with him, are on the outside, and there's this group on the inner circle on the inside. They should have known the stories. They should have known the prophecies. But at this time, they opposed him. They thought he was crazy. They wanted to seize him or arrest him or take him by force. They were on the outside, whereas this group on the inside, the whosoever group, the group doing the will of God, the group on the inside around him, his inner circle, my friend, this is what happens. The gospel is open to whosoever, no question. It's limited by will we come to Christ? Will we follow Christ? And that's something you're either going to do or not do. It's not limited by the whosoever. It's limited by what you do. But it's demarcated by allegiance. Please look at me. You can grow up in a home of a pastor or a deacon or a church member, and you can be on the outside and you hate everything about Christianity. You hate everything about being in church. You hate everything about reading the Bible. You hate all of this. And people will say, well, you're a Christian. You prayed a prayer. You got baptized. If you're on the outside, your allegiance draws a line. You're not part of the family. The part of the family is that inner circle that Jesus could say, you guys right here, you're the ones, you're part of the whosoever, you're part of the ones that have followed me, trusted me, called upon me, and my literal family, look at me, my literal family are on the outside. The good news, please look at me, we know this for sure, as at least one of these guys became a believer, James. Jude did too. They called him Jude. Judah, Judas, all the same name. I don't know about the rest. Can you imagine some of Jesus' literal family never came part of the family of God? You have a choice this morning. God's arms are open. Whosoever. Open to all. It's limited. What are you going to do with Christ? By the way, this is not pray a prayer. Done that. Let me go back to living my life. Oh no, it's he that does the will of God, meaning that's who you become. I trust Christ. I start following Christ. I'm a believer. I'm a follower. And sooner or later, you will be demarcated. There will be a demarcation line that says, those folks are on the outside, these folks are on the inside. Here are the loyal followers, and here's the people that oppose everything I do, hate everything I do, run from everything I want to take me captive. They're not part of the family of God. There's a demarcation line based on allegiance. Now I'm going to ask you a question. Where are you this morning? Please look at me. Some of you have a face for radio. I do. Some of you have a body for radio. I do. God doesn't care about that. He's very interested in, will you do the will of God? And over time, you're either going to be the part in here agreeing with Jesus, loving Christ, or you're going to be on the outside. I don't care what language you use. Looking in, and you hate Christianity, you hate the Bible, you hate praying, you hate giving, you hate missions, you hate everything about Christianity, and you're a Christian? No, you're on the outside. Here's the family of God, those who are have allegiance sworn to Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word.